My winter nights are taken up by static, stress, and holiday shopping traffic. But I close my eyes and I'm somewhere else, just like magic.
Oh, Taylor Swift with her original song. It's called, titled Christmas Tree Farm. Is it going to become a classic? We'll see what our guest thinks today. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Tom Wilmoth in the studio with us today. Been a collector of popular music since he was a kid and is a professor of English at Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon. He authored the book Soundbites, A Lifetime of Listening, and so we'll talk with him today about popular Christmas music, and maybe you've heard some new music that you think might become a standard. Maybe a question about the Christmas music. Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Tom Wilmoth, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Thank you for having me back. Great to be here.
Well, what do you think of Taylor Swift's new song? Does it have what it takes to become a standard?
Well, I listened to that a couple of times very closely last night, and I thought, short answer is no, but I like the opening section where I thought, oh, she's got this little intro, kind of like the prelude to White Christmas, yeah, that nobody ever sings usually. But then it got into the actual song, and I thought, this is too complicated. This is not simple enough or singable enough, I thought. I don't think that's going to be around in a few years. And she can do no wrong this year, I know. She's on everybody's A-list right now, but I don't think that Christmas song is going to stand the test of time.
So what does it take to become a standard?
Boy, if I knew that, I'd be writing an album full of them. I guess what I'd go back to is simplicity in some ways, or if we go to country music, sincerity is just huge as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
But if you think of some of the huge Christmas songs, usually they're of a moderate to slow tempo. I think she's kicking it a little bit too hard there, and she's got too many chord changes in there. I'm telling Taylor Swift how to write a song. But that doesn't seem to me to be a true Christmas. I know a song about Christmas tree farms, it kind of fails on several levels, I thought. But even some fairly recent things that have become standards, even though they're 40 years old, like the Carpenters. So those are ballads. It's rare. I think, well, you got Jingle Bell Rock and you've got some up-tempo tunes, but a lot of the ones that really hang in there for the long haul are slower tunes.
Well, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You is,
right?
That's probably the most popular, one of the most popular holiday songs.
Yeah, and that absolutely flies in the face of what I just said as far as having to be a ballad. But there are some that keep showing up, and boy, it's been just a long time since very many have come around as far as being regular entries.
Well, this is the third year, I'm happy to say, that you've been with us about Christmas music. And last year, a caller mentioned a Jimi Hendrix Christmas album.
Right.
Here's a little bit of that album, because you actually had to do some research.
I just did not think, when he called in, I thought, I don't think there's any such thing. By golly, there is, at the time it was a bootleg. I think the family is putting it out legitimately now, but it's kind of a studio warm-up in some ways. But if you have a little bit of
it,
sure.
Yeah, let's listen to a little.
Yeah, that's Jimmy. An album is a little bit of a misnomer. It's like, I think, 4 minutes. There's like the 2 4-minute tracks of it, and I think, okay, well. But yeah, that Hendrix is doing that in the studio in 68, I believe it was.
Well, you always learn something on this show. You had to do a little research to find it.
He was Tom, right.
But he was right. What about you as you're listening in to Tom and I talk? You've got a favorite, or do you think there's a song out there that really is a standard, or you'd like to have it be a standard? Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Well, those Christmas albums have been around for quite a while. Who started the celebrity Christmas album?
That's a tough one. I think some of the early ones would be actually some country music people. I think Gene Autry and some of his early hits that were put together. Everything really blew open with Elvis when he put out the Christmas album in 50, yeah. Recorded in 56 at the really peak of his initial fame. And it came out in 57, I think. Elvis's first Christmas album, that really blew the doors off as far as after that, everybody thought they could put out an album and did. Jazz was a little slow to the table. There were a couple of early standouts. Kenny Burrell, the guitarist, had an early Christmas album called We Wish You a Soulful Little Christmas. Hmm. And there are a few early ones. I know Rahsaan Roland Kirk made a deal of playing Christmas tunes every Christmas Eve at the Village Vanguard, but I don't think there are any recordings. But he was fairly early on as far as jazz recordings. Wynton Marsalis has a really nice one called Crescent City Christmas. But the jazz was a little bit slow to the table. In the 1960s, you would have thought that rock would have been all over it, but
yeah.
They really weren't. There's an odd one by Paul Revere and the Raiders, and that is very odd. It's very political, very anti-Vietnam. It's no hits. It's a strange one, but most people shied away from them.
They had the Paul Revere and the Raiders had one, Dear Mr. Claus.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a little piece of that.
This note, please pay attention to the words I've wrote.
See, that's trippy, just the way it's recorded.
Yeah.
It's getting very lonely here at home. I think I'd like a special someone I can call my very own. Dear Mr. Claus, won't you bring me real life doll.
Okay, there we go.
I give him credit for doing original tunes on there. It's not just a collection of the same old, but that's an unusual record.
That is really an unusual record. Well, but it does, it's got the sound. I mean, the Paul Revere and the Raiders sound.
The big reverb they always went for. And it sounded great. Kicks. Yes. They were the biggest band out of Idaho.
There we go. What's the biggest band out of Wisconsin?
No matter what I say, you'll have people fighting. The Bodines, far as recent material, I don't know. Let's just give it to Liberace.
Bonivere.
Bonivere, absolutely.
Bonivere
he went from 0 to 10 very fast.
I enjoy listening to
him. Right, yeah, and... Yeah, my daughter made me very aware of him. So it's, huge.
Huge. Rita in Middleton, your turn.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
I'm enjoying your show. I have Bluetooth in my car, and I had to stop and call in. But my favorite is In the Bleak Midwinter, and in particularly by James Taylor, his version. Are you familiar with
that? That's a great tune, and there are several really good recordings. And it's one of those down Christmas tunes.
Yeah.
Joan Baez does it, and it's on several. Yeah, James Taylor, of course. But that's one of those very serious Christmas songs, I'd say.
Nigel,
it makes me weep every time I hear it.
Right. So.
I love it.
Nigel, have you got that? Yeah, Nigel's got a little piece of that.
Thank you.
How has he kept his voice?
That is a pretty song.
That is a fine one. Yeah, and I like it too because you're not beaten over the head with it all the time. It's one you don't hear nearly as often. A fine tune.
And when you hear it,
pay attention.
You pay attention. Well, I tell you what, let's see, who have we got next here? We just talked to Rita in Middleton, if I'm not mistaken. Or, yeah, let's go to Frank in La Crosse. Hi, Frank.
Hi, happy holidays.
To you as well.
I'm a traditionalist when it comes to, like, a lot of different styles of music. I like that Jimi Hendrix one. I would put that on my to-buy list because I've always been a fan. But one of my personal favorites is John Lennon's Merry Xmas, The War Is Over. Very untraditional Christmas song, but I just, by coincidence, I happened to buy it. I was out shopping on State Street, and I bought it to come home to hear that he had been shot.
Wow.
So it's got some real personal relation, but it's a great Christmas song with a different kind of spirit, and you wouldn't expect it from John Lennon necessarily, even though the Beatles did put out different Christmas things in the earlier days. And I've got a problem with some of these younger artists that, that musically they just don't seem to have the same chops that some of the traditional artists do nowadays. What's being released nowadays is, it's popular, and I like a lot of different styles, but there's just something that that there's missing in some of the younger artists.
Yeah, well, Frank, thanks a lot for calling. I think
this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone.
Yeah, John Lennon.
Right, that's great. I was going to bring in some Christmas things and hold them up to the microphone. I have that on. I've got that 45 on green vinyl when it first came out. That's very cool. But it's, I know that doesn't matter, but it does. But yeah, that came out, and he wanted that to become a hit. And usually, John Lennon, it seems that John didn't care much during that part of his life as far as if his stuff became hits or not. But he wanted that one to be out there and become a hit, and it did. It's still with us. And
well, it's a beautiful song.
It is
a very beautiful song. Frank, thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much. Talking about Christmas music today, where are the new standards, or are there some new standards? Tom Wilmoth, our guest today, a passionate collector of popular music. He's a professor of English at Concordia University, Wisconsin, in Mequon. And Nigel O'Shea doing a great job as engineer today, finding us some music when you call in. And by the way, if you have a question, comment, or a comment about a song, give a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email one in at ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network, taking a look at holiday music. Where are the new standards with our guest, Tom Wilmoth, a professor of English at Concordia University, Wisconsin, in Mequon. I'm Larry Mueller. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Tom, I know you want to say another word or two about the John Lennon.
Well, that's an interesting record in a variety of ways. And the original pressing, and I think it's still on the reissues, but the original pressing of that had John and Yoko giving a little message to Yoko's daughter. And John and Yoko were going through some custody battles as far as trying to get that. So if you, before it goes into "And So This Is Christmas," you'll hear the whispering. And I think we've got that set up, but it's John and Yoko whispering to their daughter, which they don't have access to at that time.
So this is Christmas.
And so there you have John and Yoko giving that little hidden message, but it's right before the track starts. And that's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. Will emailed to say that in any song, there needs to be a level of sincerity to make the song believable and convey emotion to the listener. In Christmas music, the tone and mood of the singer's voice can make you feel like it's a snowy night on Christmas Eve, perhaps. However, the album Christmas Reggae is the worst album he's ever heard. Incorrect lyrics, mixing up melodies from different classic songs, bare-bone rhythms, and zero vocal believability. He says he'll gladly mail you the album for you for your worst of collection.
Well, that's kind. I don't know that album. It sounds like he has very specific reasons for not wanting to listen to it. But yeah, it's clicking off all the things wrong. Yeah, if you don't have sincerity, though, going back to that, if you don't have sincerity, well, Groucho Marx said, you know, if you can fake sincerity, you've got it made.
Yeah.
But as far as that album, it sounds like that doesn't make it on a variety of levels.
And the tone and the mood of the singer's voice, I think he's right. I mean, the singer can make you feel like it's a snowy night on Christmas Eve.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, we have lots of callers online, so let's take another call. Jason in Dodgeville, we'll go to you next. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Well, you just played So This Is Christmas, and I was just, every time I think of that, I mean, I love that song, and I also like maybe even a little bit more The Alarm, the rock band, the British rock band from the 80s, did a cover of that. And it was really great. The choir at the end is good, and the guitar in it is also really good. I was going to call originally was Raul Malo, who's the lead singer for the country band The Mavericks, did a solo Christmas album. I think it's called It's a Marshmallow World or A Marshmallow Christmas. That's really good because they get a little bit of the horns in there and stuff because he is Cuban, you know. But it was the whole album's great.
Yeah, Malo, you talk about voices. Raul Malo on his own is great. I mean, but you know, fronting the Mavericks, that's just beautiful, beautiful. The Mavericks were an interesting band. They were almost too good at too many different things. They got big, but they should have been bigger. But yeah, I'd listen to him sing pretty much anything. But Marshmallow World is one that, usually a female vocalist takes that, but I'm sure he does a great job with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, instrumentals, come into play too. Well, Chet Atkins has one, the
right.
Jingle Bell Rock, I think.
He put out two different Christmas records, one in 61 or 62, and then the other one in the early 80s. And those are interesting. He plays great, of course, on both of them. The first one from the early 60s is very, very produced as far as the Nashville sound and the background vocalists and all. And then that's on RCA. And then the one he did for Columbia in the early 80s is more stripped down. And I'll say again, Chet Atkins can play great on every track on there. But it's just the production is very different on both of those records.
I think Nigel has got...
Jingle bell, jingle bell.
Yeah, that's from the early 60s. Bell, rock, tell me that. That's a sincere guitar.
Yeah, it is. And lots of Chet Atkins albums in my collection there.
I own quite a few, and there are no bad ones.
There are no bad. You're right about that. You're definitely right about that. Well, let's take another call. Marcus in Milwaukee, we'll go to you. Hi, Marcus.
Hey, Larry. So I think we might be looking at this the wrong way. By definition of a standard, it would mean something that's a classic that's being redone. And so in order to determine that, we'd actually have to allow more time to pass. And I feel like anybody trying to write specifically a Christmas-like hit, they're fighting an uphill battle because the songs we like what we grew up with in childhood because it's that same nostalgia that it evokes a feeling. I mean, it's not Christmas for me if I don't hear Bing Crosby sing White Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he hit the word right on the head. It's, you know, Christmas is nostalgia, and of course you're going back to things you remember, things you like. And I agree, sitting down trying to write a standard, good luck.
yeah.
And the other part as far as, well, how long does it have to be around until it's a standard? I mentioned the Carpenters a while back as far as their Christmas song. That's from the early 80s. I guess that's been around long enough so it's close to a standard. And like he said, how many people have re-recorded it? And, of course, he brought up White Christmas by Bing Crosby, so I have to say that that's Spike Jonze on drums on that track. So.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, he got bored being a session drummer and then went off and became a wild band of comic material.
Oh, my goodness. Marcus, thank you very much. George in Milwaukee, let's go to you.
Hi there. Great show. I appreciate it. The song that I think of, and I'm not sure it was recorded, but the Bing Crosby, David Bowie, Little Drummer Boy.
Yes, that's out there.
On live TV.
Right, that's a remarkable recording, and that is out there now on in a couple. I'm sure it's widely available now. But you're right, it was not available for quite a while. And the pairing, especially at that time, Bing Crosby and David Bowie, and they're great together. And I think we've got
something up.
And this one. This is my son's favorite. Do you know this one?
Oh, I do indeed. It's a lovely thing.
Yeah, there we go.
What's nice about that, too, is it starts out as a traditional take on it, and then as it gets into it, they split off and they're doing different parts. And that, if you don't know that version, that's really worth looking up. They do a great job with it.
There was a backstory to that whole recording and them getting together. I can't remember if there was not animosity, but David Bowie might have been.
I think he was super nervous.
About it.
And for Bowie, I mean, he was the epitome of cool, especially at that time. And for him to be nervous about singing with anybody, from what I have heard, that he was just very, very unnerved or very nervous about singing with Bing Crosby. But yeah, boy, they nailed it.
Well, who wouldn't be, I guess?
Right?
who wouldn't be? Oh, man. George, thanks a bunch. Mike in Germantown. Your turn.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah. One song you don't hear very often, but I think it's one of the most beautiful Christmas songs. It's by John Jacob Niles. I Wonder As I Wander.
Oh,
it's almost it's just hauntingly beautiful.
I'll go back to the Joan Baez Noel album from 1966. That she does just a beautiful job with that. I Wonder As I Wander Out Under the Sky. That you're right. You don't hear that nearly as much. But again,
it's almost otherworldly. His voice, if you listen, I get goosebumps every time I listen to it.
Yeah, that's a fine, I don't want to say overlooked, but that's one of those you don't hear a lot. But boy, that's just top flight.
I don't know if Nigel's got that one. Nigel's got that one. Let's listen to it a little bit.
That is so great because that's Baez in 1966. She can still sing at the top of her range. And that's Peter Schickele who did the arrangements for that album. P.D.Q. Bach did all the orchestral stuff. And it's called Noel. That's a fine Christmas album.
I flash back to my uncle who had a great tenor voice, and I can remember him singing this song and being captivated by it.
The caller is right. That's just, I know that he was talking about a different vocalist, but that is just a wonderful song.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mike. Well, Lucas in Madison. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Love the show. It's a great episode this morning. I wanted to bring up Trans-Siberian Orchestra. There's a song by them called Wizards in Winter, and I kind of think that has what it takes to maybe be a classic. I don't know. I hear it a lot when I'm out shopping this time of year. I just wanted to kind of get your opinion on that. If you've heard it or what you think.
Nope, that one, I do not know that one, but it sounds like we're going to hear it right now.
Yeah, let's.
Okay.
Well, there you have it.
You talk about produced sound. They absolutely have a very, very specific sound. The Trans-Siberian Orchestra, in some ways, it reminds me of what Jimmy Buffett did. He took a minor top 20 hit and turned it into an industry. God bless. And the Trans-Siberian Orchestra has taken a very specific sound, and they've been touring on that for years.
They
know what they're
successful.
Doing. Oh, yeah. And both of those artists know exactly what they're doing and how to reach their audiences.
Well, you know, the other night I watched on, I guess it was last week, on Wisconsin Public TV, Wisconsin Public Media, I watched the John Denver special. And it reminded me, I was reminded of it when I heard from Bill, who emailed to say John Denver's Aspen Glow is a favorite.
That is. That's a fine song. As a matter of fact, that's interesting you say that, because we were playing some Christmas albums, and my lovely wife Ellie walks into the room and says, "Who is that? What song is that?" And it was that very song. Aspen Glow, and I looked at the record label, and John Denver wrote that, and it's the lead-off tune on the Christmas album, and again, a very, very good song.
Yeah.
See the sunlight through the pine. Taste the warm of winter wine. Dream of softly falling snow. Winter's gold, aspen glow, as the winter days unfold.
Oh,
he loved Colorado. You know, that's an interesting. We had a caller last year talk about another song on that same album, "Daddy's Drinking Up Our Christmas." So he goes from that just sublime music that we just heard there, as far as Aspen Glow, into kind of one of the darker corners of country music.
That was an interesting special. I hope they run that special again on John Denver. I kind of hadn't thought about John Denver in a long, long time, and it was really interesting to not only hear some of his music again, but just to learn more about him.
Right.
Well, we have, other callers on. Joel in Menominee has one for us. Hi, Joel.
Hi, Larry. Hello to your guest. I just wanted to call and say that when my wife and I got married, she really introduced me to the music of Bing Crosby. And one of my favorite songs of his is "Christmas in Killarney." Really makes you feel like you're in a pub or a cottage somewhere with all your family and loved ones. And it just really brings that feeling of Christmas to me.
You know, and I bet Nigel probably even has it up. His fingers are really working.
He's really good. Very, very good.
Very good at pulling. There we go.
The holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen is Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home. It's nice to know to kiss your beau while cuddling under the mistletoe. And Santa Claus, you know, of course, is one of the boys from home.
I couldn't have said the name of that, but it sounds like I've got a Chieftain's Christmas album, and it's going down that road a little bit. Well, after the huge success of White Christmas, I have a two-CD set that's just, I mean, long CDs of nothing but Bing Crosby doing Christmas tunes. And, you know, after you are successful, even if you're Bing Crosby, if you do something that works, you keep doing it. And he recorded a lot of Christmas tunes, and that is a superior one for sure.
And he won an Academy Award in, he played a priest. And I'm trying, blanking.
Boys Town.
No, it wasn't Boys Town.
Yeah, somebody will call
in. But I was
in.
Trying to remember if he sang a Christmas song in that movie. And I don't know why that popped into my head, but I know he won an Academy Award for his role as a priest.
Father, I can't say it either. I know what you're talking about.
Nuts. Well, somebody will call in and tell me what it is. The Bells of St. Mary's is the and that's probably Jill Nadeau, our producer, helping out.
All right.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jill. Getting lots of help here. This show wouldn't be a show without Jill and Nigel, that's for sure, as well as Tom, obviously. Let's go to Claire in Sauk County. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Professor. I think the character's name, Larry, is Father Flanagan.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
In that movie. Well, for me, Larry, it would just not be Christmas without the Dr. Seuss hit, Mr. Grinch, with that beautiful bass voice, and I hope the professor can tell us the man that sings that song. I just love that song.
We had this last year, and I got it wrong, and I want to say Paul Frees, and that's wrong, and Boris Karloff is wrong. Somebody will call up, I'm sure, but boy, that is a very distinctive one-of-a-kind voice.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Oh, Nigel was the author's name, or the singer on there? No, he's shaking his head. No, somebody will come up with it. But now, I was going to bring something else up, but it just slipped my mind. So let's go to Steve in Milwaukee. Hi, Steve. Thank you for calling.
I wouldn't touch you with a 39. James Earl Jones, I think.
I missed the first part of your comment, Steve. Could you repeat?
I said the Grinch singer might be James Earl Jones, but I'm not sure about that. But anyway, I called about Bruce Coburn, and I was traveling back home for Christmas across Iowa some Sunday morning listening to NPR, and they did this interview with this Canadian singer and guitarist named Bruce Coburn, whom I never had heard of. And by the time that segment was over, about 15 minutes later, I knew I was going to buy this Christmas album. It, like, instantly became my very favorite. And he does such tremendous guitar. The musical arrangements are just spectacular. And he does some different and obscure Christmas songs, all of a spiritual nature. And so one of my favorites was his take on... I Saw Three Ships, which up till then I had never even heard that song. And then he also does another really impressive song that's in Spanish called Rio Rio Chio. And he does another one in the Huron language. But it's his musical arrangements that really have changed how one would approach a lot of these songs. And
we've got him.
I think of.
Yeah, I thank you. Steve, we've got him here. Steve, are you still there, Steve?
Yes, I am. I'm not sure that particular song does justice to the intricacies of his musical arrangements. But if you've never heard Bruce Coburn's Christmas, I suggest you seek it out. And then be sure to read the liner notes, because he explains why he chose some of the songs and where they came from. There's one really way out there song. It's called Down in Yon Forest. And that one is, I mean, you want to talk about a dark Christmas song. It's almost kind of creepy. But his liner notes are absolutely hilarious reading them as well.
Steve, thanks so much. Comment, Tom Wilmot.
Bruce Coburn is criminally underrated in the United States. He's a great Canadian. He's a great performer, a writer, and he has out a couple of albums of just instrumental. He's a fine guitarist. I've seen him a couple of times, and he deserves a much bigger audience. I think he's happy with where he is. He's been recording since the early 70s. He comes through Milwaukee, plays Shank Hall, or he plays some medium-sized halls. I've seen him a couple of times, and I have a couple of friends who are just... If we say Bruce, we're talking about Bruce Springsteen. If he says Bruce, he's talking about Bruce Coburn. But Bruce Coburn, again, just a top-flight individual who's just been flying under the radar for about 40 years.
Steve, thank you so much. And the Grinch singer, and I'm not sure if Nigel found this or Jill found it, but it's Thurie Ravenscroft.
Mm. Nope, I would not have come up with it.
there's no way I'd have come up with it either. Well, I'll tell you what, we've had, there are a lot of, this has been a lot of fun so far. There are, we've got a track on an instrumental album. There's some good ones out there. Wynton Marsalis has one, and I think Nigel's got that one up.
That swings, and you can hear the melody, and he's taking liberties with it. And, I mean, that's he knows what he's doing, but you can still tell what tune it is, and then he's going to go off into the improvisation. But that's a great—you don't see that CD around a lot. It's called Crescent City Christmas, and that's with one of his earlier bands. It probably came out in the late 80s, but Marsalis is really at the top of his game on that particular stuff.
And on that note, here we are out of time. Boy, this has really flown by. Tom, I really appreciate you being
with
us.
Thank you very much.
And you'll come back and be
with
us.
Absolutely.
Always look forward to your visits. Thank you so much. Oh, yeah. You know what? We'll keep that music going for a minute as we I let you know about what's coming up. We have, there's a book out. It's called Mobituaries. And it's, you know, sometimes an obituary doesn't do justice to the life. And Mo Rocca has a new book out, and we'll talk with him next here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mealer.